Welcome. You're listening to The Crosswalk with Deacon Kevin Endress, a show about living life at the intersection of faith, family, and vocations. And now your host, Deacon Kevin.
Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning into The Crosswalk here on the Berger Radio Network. I'm your host, Deacon Kevin Endress, and week in, week out, we talk about living life at the intersection of faith, family, and vocations. And I think today's show is going to cover a good portion of all of that. My guest is Deacon Greg Kandra, and he is the creator of the Deacon's Bench. The blog has garnered over 20 million readers from around the world since its inception in 2007. Additionally, he serves as the multimedia editor for Catholic Near East Welfare Association, a pontifical association founded by Pope Pius XI in 1926. He oversees the agency's blog One-to-One and is one of the editors of its award-winning magazine, One. Previous to that, Deacon Greg spent nearly three decades in broadcast journalism, most of that time at CBS News, where he was a writer and producer for several programs, including 48 Hours, 60 Minutes 2, Sunday Morning, and the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. He was also the founding editor of Couric & Company, Katie Couric's blog at cbsnews.com. In addition to his work with CBS News, from 2000 to 2004, he served as a writer and producer of the live finales of the hit reality series Survivor. In 2002, he co-wrote the acclaimed CBS documentary 9/11, hosted by Robert De Niro, which told the story of firefighters on September 11, 2001. The film showed the only footage shot inside the World Trade Center that day and featured the last images of Father Michael Judge moments before he became the first official fatality of the attacks. In print, Deacon Greg's radio essays were featured in Dan Rather's best-selling book, Deadlines and Datelines. His essays have been published in America, U.S. Catholic, Catholic Digest, Reality, and Brooklyn Tablet. He also contributes reflections to Give Us This Day, the monthly prayer periodical from Liturgical Press. Deacon Greg has received every major award in broadcasting, including two Emmys, two Peabody Awards, and four awards from the Writers Guild of America. His spiritual writing and essays have been honored multiple times with awards by the Catholic Press Association. He's one of 76 New Yorkers, including Dorothy Day and Fulton Sheen, profiled in the 2014 book New York Catholics. He also travels the country directing retreats and parish missions. In May 2016, at the invitation of the Vatican, Deacon Greg was one of the featured speakers at the International Jubilee for Deacons in Rome. In 2017, he became the first deacon to be honored as Clergy of the Year by the Catholic Guild at Our Lady of the Skies Chapel at John F. Kennedy Airport. He was one of the speakers at the 2018 Diaconate Congress in New Orleans, marking the 50th anniversary of the restoration of the diaconate as a permanent order. He is the author of two books, The Living Gospel, Advent Reflections for 2018, and his new book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. A Maryland native, Deacon Greg graduated from the University of Maryland with a bachelor's in English in 1982. He was ordained a deacon for the Diocese of Brooklyn in 2007. He and his wife live in Forest Hills, New York, where he serves at Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs Parish. Deacon Greg, welcome to The Crosswalk.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. I'm exhausted just listening to that.
And I'm exhausted just reading it. It's a joke. We did a show a few weeks ago where Nick, my producer, actually interviewed me about, you know, the things I'm involved with, and time and time again, you know, people say, well, I don't know how it is you do everything that you do. And then I read your bio and I look at myself and go, well, I don't do anything. this is pretty accomplished. And I think you, before we even get anything, I think you can probably agree with me that when we follow God's will for our lives and we do His work, He has the ability to multiply time.
Absolutely. He bends time, He reinvents it, and He makes us capable of doing things that we never thought we'd be able to do or have time to do or have the energy to do, I think. And the grace of orders, I'm sure you've discovered, is a tremendous, tremendous asset.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes all things possible.
It does. Before we get maybe into the book, the new book that you have authored, maybe with that background and in that bio, maybe just share with the listener how somebody who spends 30 years in kind of secular news and in writing has a path to the permanent diaconate.
Well, it's an interesting story. As I tell people, CBS News isn't exactly a farm team for Catholic clergy. And I'm probably the only guy who went from working for Katie Couric to working for the Pope. So it's been an interesting journey. But you know, the real impetus for it, and I've talked about this a lot and written about it a little bit, was really my experience of September 11th, 2001, 9/11, being in New York at that time and working at CBS in the newsroom as all this was unfolding and writing special reports all day long and into the night and having to spend the night in the city because I couldn't leave really Midtown Manhattan. Everything was shut down. And experiencing that up close really, really affected me and got me thinking more deeply and more seriously about my life and about my faith and what I wanted to do with my life and realizing how fleeting and transient everything is. And that everything I'd worked for, all the ambitions that I had and whatnot, could be gone in an instant. And I had been born and raised Catholic and was an observant Catholic. I wouldn't call myself a serious Catholic. My wife was much more serious about her faith than I was. But in the weeks after 9/11, I started spending more time in church and really revisiting my faith and becoming closer to it and asking God, what do you want me to do? And after a very short period of time, he told me. Very soon, I began reading stories about deacons and reading about the diaconate and hearing about the diaconate. I went on a retreat down to the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers, Georgia. And to my amazement, one of the people there was a Catholic deacon. And there was something that just spoke to me when I was there listening to him preach. He preached a homily, I remember, in three languages, English, French, and Spanish.
Wow.
And I sat there just overwhelmed, and something said to me, that's what you should be doing. And this was just a couple of months, maybe 6 months after September 11th. And I went home from that retreat, and I said to my wife, guess what? I'm going to be a deacon. And she said, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. We didn't have any deacons in my parish. I had only a vague idea of, you know, what a deacon is or what a deacon does. But there was just something that wouldn't let go. And as you know, when God latches onto you, he'll find a way to make it happen. And we talked about it, my wife and I, and thought, you know, maybe this is something I can do after I retire. This isn't something I have to do right now. But God was very insistent. And a few weeks after that, I sat down with my pastor and I said, I want to try this. So I got in just under the wire to make the admissions for the next class of deacons. And I made a deal with God. I basically said, I will go as far with this as you want me to go. And if you don't want me to be ordained, that's okay. I'll, you know, give you the wheel and take me wherever you want, as far as you want. And if there's any time you want me to get out of the car and head back, I'll do that. But amazingly, 5 years later, I was ordained. And here I am talking to you.
Yeah, and Nick is behind the glass, kind of shaking his head with a smile on his face. You have no idea, Deacon Greg, but the show we did a few weeks ago when Nick was interviewing me about my vocation story, our stories are, it's uncanny the parallels in our story, that it was actually a deacon in a very similar message during a homily in a mass, where I heard my call as well, where God was saying, that's what I want you to do. And I told my wife, I think I'm going to be a deacon. And she said, you're going to be a what? And I said, I think I'm going to be a deacon. And she said, what is that? And I said, I don't know, but I got to find out. And then the progression of it. So, it, you know, God is good. And I'm glad that you followed that call and become, because a listener has no idea how excited I am to interview you today as through my journey and formation. I have been, you know, one of the resources that I had was the Deacon's Bench, which is your blog, and you are a prolific writer and do a just a fantastic way of communicating the faith in topics within our culture today, make it very easy to understand. So thank you for that. Thank you for your vocation and answering that call.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a joy and a blessing, really.
Yeah. So you're an author, you're a writer, you're a producer, you've got all these, again, wonderful things on your bio, but you've got this new book out, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer, and I think, you know, as I read through your bio, it's not a stretch to the imagination why you might write a book about prayer and for a busy person. But I mean, what was it?
I'm a busy person.
Yeah. What was the impetus and how you decided that, you know, I'm going to write a book about this?
Well, it was funny, you know, over the years, as more and more people have read my blog and have been following me and what I do, publishers have approached me and said, you know, do you have any ideas for a book that you would like to do? And I sort of had some ideas for a long time, and maybe this is something I will eventually get to. I wanted to do a book about Thomas Merton and his experience of living in New York, because I just love his writing so much, and it was instrumental in my own journey, reading and discovering him. But Word Among Us Press contacted me, and they had a very specific idea. They said, a lot of people have been asking us, do you have any books for people who are too busy to pray? And they said, well, no, but let's see if maybe we can do one. And for some reason, they decided to contact me, and I'd never had any dealings with them before. And the editor and publisher, Beth McNamara, sent me an email and said, we have this idea for a book, and we think you'd be the perfect person to do it. And then she told me what it was and described it. And the more I thought about it and the more I mulled it over and thought about different ways of approaching it, the more I thought, you know, I can do this. So often when people have approached me with book ideas, I thought, this is too long. This is too heavy. It's going to be too deep. I'm not going to be able to wrap my arms around this. But this was an idea I thought I could really relate to as a busy person who prays. And I wanted to try and make it as relatable for people as possible and make it clear that, you know, you're never too busy to give some time to God and find a way of convincing people of that in this book. I said, okay, let's do this. And now, amazingly, miraculously, it's actually been published.
Yeah, and I got to believe you have a similar answer. But when people do ask me, you know, how do you do what you do and get all the things done? And I said, you know, I don't do anything. The Holy Spirit does it. And the foundation of everything is my prayer life. I mean, if without my prayer life, everything that I do, some of the things would just be do-gooder work. But it's really the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And there's only one way to listen to that guidance, and that is to have a prayer life. And everybody is called to a prayer life. Everybody needs to find that time to give to God in the morning. And again, making it simple and looking at kind of the contents of the book, you know, you're going over getting started, keeping it simple, forming habits. I think a lot of people put their hands up in the air and say, well, you know, prayer life is hard because people are thinking of the monastic life, you know, or they have to become cloistered and spend an hour in seclusion somewhere, or, you know, all these rote prayers and things like that. But the reality of it is, you know, our formation was deeply rooted in Ignatian spirituality, and it's really just making your life a prayer and becoming a contemplative in action and all the things that you do and offering them up for the greater glory of God.
That's exactly right. I was visiting a parish in Brooklyn a couple of weeks ago, and speaking with a man who is in formation to become a deacon there. And he was talking about how challenging formation was for him and creating a prayer life was for him. And he put it so well. He said, I pray with my hands, meaning with what he does. And I think all of us can do that in one way or another. And that's part of what I try to address in this book, is how to turn your life into lived prayer, not just with the words that you say, but with what you do and how you live.
Yeah, I smile a little bit because right in your introduction, right on the first page, you quote a little prayer that kind of brings again a smile to my face and a twinkle to my eye, because with my four daughters, every night when we pray and every morning when we pray, we say that prayer to the guardian angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, delight to guard, to rule and guide, amen. And that is, you know, from my 2-year-old all the way up to my 9-year-old. And you say in the book, really, that's where your prayer life began. And then, you know, something as simple as that, even for adults, is, you know, as much as of this prayer is attributed to children, really can set kind of frame the day for you and frame your evening, yeah, as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think one of my chapters is entitled Keep It Simple, and start with the basics and don't try and make prayer more complicated than it is, because it's not that complicated when you get right down to it. It's It's an act of love and an act of giving yourself to God and being open to having a conversation with God. And we tend to dress it up with all these fancy words and rituals and very intense prayers, but it can be so much simpler than that. And a lot of praying we learn from our parents, and that's a good place to begin.
Yeah, I think here, you know, especially here we are in the heart of Lent, and it's a perfect time for people to turn back interiorly into themselves, really to set that time aside. You know, we talk about giving up chocolate or giving up alcohol or all these other things that we can give up, but maybe in replacing giving up something maybe fruitless that we were going to do as if watch 15 minutes of our favorite show, just spend 15 minutes giving it over to God in quiet time. And prayer can be simply just sitting quietly and listening for the whisper of God and the Holy Spirit, not saying anything. And I think a lot of prayer, my advice to the listener is that your prayer shouldn't be all talking, that, you know, just spend 5 minutes every morning just in the presence of God and just listening for his whisper.
Yeah, and I did a whole chapter in the book all about silence and trying to find ways to be silent or embrace silence or let silence embrace you. And that opens us up, I think, more to God and to listening to his promptings in our heart. He, you know, the scripture tells us that God was in the wind and the whispers. He doesn't come to us in loud, bombastic ways. He comes to us very quietly, and we have to be open for that, because that's when miraculous things really happen.
Yeah. I'm Deacon Kevin Endres. Thanks for joining us on The Crosswalk today. My guest joining me by phone is Deacon Greg Kandra, and he is a prolific writer. He's a prolific speaker. He has won multiple awards. If I go back through his bio, it'll use up the rest of the show. But we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the new book that he has authored called The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. Stay tuned.
Are you a business owner or decision maker? Would you like to gain visibility for your business and support Catholic Radio at the same time? Underwriters are an important part of the team that supports our operation. Call 844-238-8508 today to find out more.
Welcome back to The Crosswalk with your host, Deacon Kevin.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to The Crosswalk here on the Berger Radio Network. I always appreciate you joining us here on your lunch break. If you're listening in your car, in the office, streaming us from anywhere in the world via the internet on our website, bergerradio.com. My guest today is Deacon Greg Kandra. He is an author. He's a writer. He's been in secular media and news for 30 years. But he's joining us today because he's just authored a brand new book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. Deacon Greg, how'd your background in the news business play a part in writing this book?
Well, one of the things that I think is emblematic of my work as a deacon, as a preacher, as a homilist, is telling stories. And I loved stories. I love to get stories. That's, you know, a big part of my background. Reporting the news. And so a big part of this was finding those stories that can illustrate the points that I wanted to make, and also being able to do it on deadline. I started out writing in radio, where we had to write a 5-minute newscast in under 2 hours, frequently rewriting material from the wires. So that's sort of been ingrained in me. And so it was not too hard to take that and adapt it to a longer form for a book. But yeah, I tend to do better at writing short things instead of long things. So it's not a long book, and the chapters aren't long, and I try to make it as digestible and as, you know, easy to absorb as possible. You can, you know, read a chapter in just a couple of minutes on the bus on the way to work or something like that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And again, I can attest to that from your writing and following you with your various blogs and writing articles for the Deacon Digest and some of these good things and resources that deacons have. Although the Deacon's Bench, your blog, isn't just for deacons; it's just for anybody interested in the faith and learning more about it. How much of the book is really based on? I mean, your specific experience in your life, in your prayer life, versus just writing a book about prayer?
Well, I tried to, you know, put myself in the shoes of a busy person. I'm a busy person, as you know, right. As you are. And what would keep someone from praying? And I tried to sort of go through the process of why we pray and what are some good ways of approaching prayer and thinking about prayer that makes it accessible and relatable. So I really, you know, put myself in the mind and in the heart of the reader as much as I could. And I talked a little bit, you know, throughout about my own experience of prayer and some of the people that I've met and how they have impacted me and what they have taught me about prayer. So it's an amalgamation of a lot of different things from my life and people I know, and some of the stories of some of the saints and things like that are all woven throughout.
Yeah, and I Brandon Vaught, the founder of Claritas U and the author of Why I'm Catholic, he's also works with Bishop Barron in his Word on Fire ministry. But he gives you a quote here regarding the book. I just want to read it. That is, your guidance on prayer is wise, clear, and down to earth. It's for people who, like him, live in a noisy, busy world, stressful day jobs, cab subways, phones, and distractions. It's a guide to ordinary holiness. And I think that that is a really good point. You know, God can do extraordinary things with ordinary people. I'm a testament to that. I'm an ordinary person. There's nothing extraordinary about me. I'm a simple man, just, you know, trying to follow God's call, and, you know, and he has the ability, if, like you said, if we give him the wheel, he'll take over and guide us into different things. Like I said, off air, you know, a civil engineer who owns a real estate company now has a radio show. Like, few, there's, it's hard to connect those dots unless God was involved in it.
How did that happen?
But I think that it is, you know, important to stress that, you know, holiness is a call for everyone. It isn't for this special group of people, of clergy, of those connected to the church. Holiness is really a call for every ordinary person who's trying to follow a life with Christ.
That's exactly right. You know, one of the things I make clear in the introduction to the book, I say, you know, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a philosopher, I'm not an academic. I am, you know, like you said, just an ordinary guy and a deacon and a writer and a husband and a blogger and trying to make sense of this all and trying to synthesize all of this. And the book is an outgrowth of that, I think. And it's, I write it for people who are like me. I'm, you know, who are trying to fit as much of God into their lives as they can and to find a way to do it in a way that's helpful and hopeful and joyful and that will not make you feel guilty if you're not doing enough. Because, you know, one of the points I try to make is that God knows you better than you do, and he knows where you are and he knows where you're coming from, and he will meet you where you are and help to take you the rest of the way. And I hope people get a little bit of that from this book.
Yeah, I think we tend to, when we make comments like that, that's a little bit of our pride kind of creeping in, you know, not really trusting in God that he can do good things with us, that, you know, maybe you don't feel you're prepared or ready for a spiritual life. But I challenge you and encourage you to say that you really are, and you can start small and you can start simple in your path and your journey to holiness. Let's turn from the book a little bit. Just talk a little about the deacon's bench. And where did your idea for starting this blog and the name The Deacon's Bench come from?
Well, I was, at the time that I started it, I had just been ordained. And I took 2 weeks off for what I called my deacon moon. After being ordained, I spent a lot of time being a church rat in the parish.
That sounds familiar, correct?
Helping at all the daily masses, and I had some free time on my hands. And at the time, I was the editor of Katie Kirk's blog, so I knew a little bit about blogging. And I read a lot of Catholic blogs. One of my best friends is Elizabeth Scalia, who is better known as the Anchoress, and she also works now for Bishop Barron. And I had always admired the work she did, and I was looking around and reading Catholic blogs, and there was nothing out there by, for, or about deacons. So I thought to myself, let's, you know, try and start a blog by, for, and about deacons, about what it's like being a deacon, and especially a newly ordained one. So I went to blogger.com and set up my own little page, and I came up with what I thought was a clever name, The Deacon's Bench. for no particular reason except that it sounded churchy and it had the word deacon in it. And within a matter of moments, I created this blog, and Elizabeth started linking to it, and soon other people started discovering it. And I wrote, you know, it was a place for me to dump my homilies. It was a place for me to talk about doing my first wedding, my first baptism, my first funeral, all the different challenges and so forth of being a deacon today. And gradually it just caught on. And it's moved to a couple of different platforms since then. I've had it now for about 12 years. And I'm now at patheos.com, where it's, you know, happily ensconced with a gazillion other Catholic blogs, but it seems to have found its audience, and people really appreciate it. And one of the things that I've tried to do, which you don't see a lot in the blogosphere, is to be as balanced and as fair-minded as possible. I approach this with the idea that it's a big church with a lot of different people and a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different ideas about what it means to be Catholic. And I wanted to try and be as inclusive in all of that and respectful of all of that as possible.
Yeah, and I can attest to the fact that you have succeeded. And again, I share my sentiments of appreciation and awe that you have the ability to just sit down and again, write this out. You know, my homilies, I began early on where I would write every single word and then try to memorize them. I do all my homilies from memorization. I don't use my notes. And then it got to the point where, you know, you really want to preach in the spirit. And so I've missed the fact that I do have a lot of detailed notes for my homilies in the past, and having a place to kind of, like you said, park all that stuff. It's just good for people to see. And again, I think it's great for the listener who's still not completely sure on, you know, what a deacon is, what a deacon does, how do you become a deacon. There's a lot of things, because we've only, you know, reestablished this order 50 years ago coming out of Vatican II. And even that my same experience as yours, the fact that we didn't have only maybe a dozen deacons in our entire diocese, and I had not had the opportunity of being at a mass served by deacons. There were some here and there, but not really. I didn't even understand what it was when I first got started in looking into the formation process and how do you become a deacon and all those things. So again, I encourage people to go just Google the Deacon's Bench with Deacon Greg Kandra. It'll take you right to it, and follow him along in his journey and the things that he's writing as he kind of continues to guide us into the future with topics of faith in the church. And then again, Deacon Greg, your new book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer, where do people go to get the book?
Well, you can get it at Amazon.com. They don't have it yet in stock. It's supposed to be in stock, I think, this weekend. But the other place is to go to Word Among Us Press, which is the publisher, and they are at wau.org. And they already have it in stock, and it's actually a little bit cheaper if you get it there than from Amazon, although Amazon is probably quicker. But either Amazon or Word Among Us Press.
There you go. And again, the book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer, here in the in the liturgical season of Lent, maybe get it. It is a quick read. It's a quick read, but full of great, very concise, practical ways to start a prayer life and start your journey to holiness. Deacon Greg, I want to thank you for joining me here on the Crosswalk today. It's been an honor and a pleasure to get to speak with you. I've been following you for years, and so thank you for taking the time to join me on the Crosswalk today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, you can go get his book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer, Amazon.com. What was the other one?
Or Word Among Us Press, wau.org.
Word Among Us Press. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And I want to thank you again for listening and tuning in today and joining us here on the Berger Radio Network. Growing in our relationship with Jesus is a lifelong journey, but every journey begins with the first step. I will pray for you today that you have the courage to pick up your cross and follow him. I'm Deacon Kevin Endress. May God bless your week.
Thanks for listening to The Crosswalk with Deacon Kevin. Join us again next week exclusively on Berger Radio.